Music is meant to be seen and felt as well as being heard. I'm Margaret, host of the Motor Calendar here on WHFR every Thursday afternoon from 4 to 5. In the Metro Detroit area, there's a great selection of venues providing live music, and on the calendar, I play music of local bands and tell you where they're playing. I'll also clue you in to art openings and other community events. You can plan your weekend with the Motor Calendar, Thursday afternoon, 4 to 5, here on WHFR, the station making waves.
You want to find the truth in life? Don't pass music by. And you know I would not lie. No, I would not lie. No, I would not lie.
Hi, I'm Phil Mack, the host of a program on WHFR called Thematic. It's on every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. until noon. I look at the subjects I pick from as many viewpoints as I can by playing the largest variety of music, both old and new. And each set ends with an instrumental. Each program also includes the selection of a Thematic Hall of Fame member as well. I try to make each show fun, so it's unique and different. Once again, the program is Thematic, and it's on every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. until noon. And I'm Phil Mack, the host, searching for the truth and organizing music for you, one song at a time.
This is WHFR 89.3, Dearborn, and you're listening to a pre-recorded show of Impact.
Good afternoon. My name is Catherine Monroe.
And this is Sean Lewis.
And you are listening to Impact on 89.3, WHFR, Dearborn. Today, my guest is Colleen Kincaid. She is the general manager from Panera Cafe, and she is going to be telling us about Panera Cares. Welcome, Colleen. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Hi. Glad to be here.
We've all heard of Panera, the Panera Bakery, but I must say I haven't really heard about the Panera Cafe. Can you please tell us what that's about?
Yeah, the Panera Cares Cafe was started out as Panera Bread. We are located in Dearborn, right on Michigan Avenue, and it was an existing Panera Bread that has now transitioned into a nonprofit Panera Cares Cafe. So basically, we're a place that people can come in who are in our community, come into an atmosphere that is very much like Panera Bread, and they get the same quality product, the same service, same standards. And our main goal is to help against the fight against food insecurity in our communities. So how we do that is to offer a place where people can come in who maybe have don't have the full amount of money to pay for a meal that you would normally get at Panera Bread, and they're able to donate less. We're located at 22208 Michigan Avenue, and it's right in the heart of Dearborn.
Can you tell me, how did you get involved?
I actually worked for Panera Cares Corporate for about 8 years. I've been with the company for a total of a little over 10. So I worked with Panera Bread for a long time, and just kind of right out of high school, really, one of my first jobs.
I have a question for you, too. If I was just somebody coming in off the street and I wanted to place an order, would I have the same feel as a regular Panera Cafe Bakery?
Absolutely, yeah. One of the main purposes of this cafe and offering this type of service to the community is to allow people who are experiencing some food insecurity to get the same kind of dignified service. If you've ever waited in line in maybe like a soup kitchen or maybe just even in your own homes kind of opening up the cupboard and there wasn't any food available, definitely doesn't feel very dignified. It doesn't lift your self-esteem in any way, and it can even be more wearing on you kind of mentally. So providing this kind of atmosphere where everybody's kind of level playing field, we're not, you know, there's no judgment as far as income level, whether you can pay or you can't pay, how you might appear to the associates. We're very much used to seeing people from all different walks of life that are able to come in and get the same kind of service.
What does the suggested donation mean?
The suggested donation is basically the cost of your food. So if you were to come in and order a sandwich that was maybe $7 or $8, we would suggest that if you had the means to meet that amount, that you would. That's really the main way that we stay open, is we really are funded through the community. So when a person comes in and pays for their food, that's what allows us to keep our electricity on. That's what we pay our associates with. That's what we use towards our internship, because we also have an internship for at-risk youth that we're doing. And that's what our staple income is to keep us afloat. But it is a suggested amount. It also allows for people who are able to donate more and kind of support our mission and support what we're doing. You're able to, again, you know, pay more if you have the ability to and the generosity. But then if you are in a situation of need, you know, maybe you're one of the families that is in that situation, because I think the estimated amount is 1 in 4 families are actually food insecure. You can pay less. So, and it's still something that's nutritionally adequate, something that you can feel good about giving to your kids. It's overall just a good quality food.
Tell me a little bit more exactly what the mission is. I noticed that you talked a little bit about pine up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed you talked a little bit about food insecurities, and it sounds like you guys are really trying to help the entire community out. Is it like a whole community type deal, or is it a because and I guess what I'm asking is this: you know, a lot of times when you go to a food pantry or something, you don't really have to donate anything really. They're just kind of giving the food away. But it sounds like your mission is to help the community through helping themselves. Am I correct?
Exactly. Yeah, we really take the approach that it's more about a hand up than it is a handout.
Okay.
We're not designed, and we won't be successful if people treat us like a soup kitchen. We're definitely not. We're not a permanent solution to food insecurity. What we are is a company, a big company, that's kind of taking a stand and saying, this is what we do well. We serve food. We have quality product. We have trained associates. And let's take what we already are doing well and put it into a community that could use our help and allow for that community to also give back to us and sustain us. And in doing so, it's mutually beneficial. And somebody who is, really experiencing food insecurity, they have a place that they can go that's a part of the solution, but it's not a be-all, end-all. If people treat us that way, if people will come in repeatedly every single day, we won't be sustainable. So it really is about finding that balance of mutual respect and making it mutually beneficial. That kind of helps.
Oh, no. I totally see exactly what you're saying. And let me ask you this, too. Why did you choose Dearborn as a location?
Dearborn has a diverse income level. And we really do need people who would normally dine at Panera Bread, because, again, it is the same atmosphere. If you would normally come into a Panera Bread and eat and you're able to afford that, just by going and doing what you would normally do by coming in here, it really does support the community that you're in. But we do need that that income level in the base community that we're in. But we're also right on Michigan Avenue. There's a bus line that goes directly from Detroit to Chicago. If somebody who was kind of more inner city and maybe had a lower income level, we're definitely attainable or reachable. And then, again, it really is 1 in 4 families in this area that are experiencing food insecurity. So even right in Dearborn, a lot of families, use, like, subsidized lunching for their kids because of their income level, and it's just another option. We find so many times that we'll see, like, a family that maybe had 2 incomes, and now they're down to 1 income. And they have to make costs, they have to cut their costs in some places, and you can't cut your mortgage. You can't turn the heat off in your house. There's things that you have to pay for. And this is just, it may be the end of the week or maybe it's the end of the month, and they really just need a helping hand, We see that a lot, that somebody may come in and they don't have the full amount, but then the next week they do, and they're so grateful that we were there when they needed us.
As soon as we come back, I guess that we can talk a little bit about some of the other programs that you have, because I know you talked about internships and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking for a real degree that's going to prepare you for the future? Then listen up. The Alternative Energy Technology degree is great for students looking to prepare themselves for a career in a new generation of green jobs. Students will learn about renewable energy and promoting and practicing of energy efficiency. If you're interested in more information about this degree or any of the other degrees here at HFCC, please call 1-800-585-HFCC or visit them online at www.hfcc.edu.
Hello, this is CD the DJ. Please join me every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. as I bring you The World of Music, where we travel the world in search of your kind of music from all parts of the world, where we're making waves at WHFR. So come travel with me and enjoy the journey.
All right, and we're back from the break. Colleen, when we were talking earlier, you'd mentioned about the at-risk youth. How do they get involved, or how do you get them involved?
This is a program that we just started last year in our other cafes. There's five cafes total. In the Portland Cafe and in the St. Louis Cafe, they already have these programs kind of a little bit more developed than we do in Dearborn. But we just finished our first segment of what we call an at-risk internship or a traditional transitional youth internship. And what this does is it's a program that we are partnered up with the Southgate Guidance Center, which is at in Southgate right off of Eureka. And that guidance center has access to teens who may be in a transitional point in their lives, meaning maybe they don't have the lifestyle to offer them guidance on how to correctly fill out a job application, how to act appropriately at work. They may be dealing with self-esteem issues. Maybe they were a very young teen mother or father, and their lifestyle itself has kind of prohibited them from knowing exactly how to find a job and to get into the workplace. So we seek these teens out through the Guidance Center. When they feel that they have enough candidates, we kind of host a little interview with them and see who is really interested and who's really willing to commit themselves for this 8 to 10 week period. And then once they are committed and they're signed up for the internship, they do a work internship in the Panera Cares. It's just like having a scheduled shift 3 times a week it's usually about 4 to 5 hours each shift. And they get all of the on-the-job training that they would had they been actually hired in. And then during this course, they are also partnered up with the Guidance Center with a gentleman who, his name's Timo. He focuses on their lifestyle choices and their life skills training portion of it. So while they're going through the job training, they're also getting life skills training for things like how to maybe once they get their first paycheck, what to do with it. Do they have a savings account or a checking account, or do they know how to open one? And those things that may have been missed in their life. So between the two of them at the end of this 8 weeks, they are very much ready to go into the job market a little bit more confident and to the employer a little bit more appealing as a candidate to actually hire.
So a lot of these students that go through the program, do you have return in students who've been through it who come back to help? Do they get a full-time job?
Two of the interns that have already gone through actually work right here at the Panera Cares Cafe.
And how long have they been there?
They've been here for, maybe 7 months.
Well, that's really great. So then they're able to help with the new students that come in as well.
Right. Yeah, we also have what we would call like a job coach, and that's some of our associates here, our existing associates, that just kind of, they're kind of a friendly face in the cafe. We introduce them to the interns. The interns are kind of, from day one, know somebody and kind of makes them feel a little bit more comfortable coming into the internship.
Did you have the opportunity for people to volunteer as well?
We do, yeah. A lot of times we see people who are maybe in situations where they can't donate monetarily or with money, but they can certainly contribute with their time, and it really does make a big difference. It impacts the cafe in many ways. They do a lot of cleaning and maybe sweeping the floors and bussing dishes, doing windows, and they can contribute. That's one way that they contribute. And then at the end of that hour, they're able to receive a meal, like a voucher for a meal. So sometimes they'll do it for the actual food itself. Other times people will do it because maybe they need a volunteer credit for school or community service, and they're looking for ways to volunteer in their community, and that's something else that we can do with them.
This is what I found interesting. As I said before, I've actually eaten there.
And
I'm guessing you must have quite a few people who come in. They probably donate, what, a little bit more, maybe, if they can, or?
Yeah, we certainly do. We have a lot of regular customers that have a very deep understanding of what it is that we're trying to accomplish. And people do come in and, you know, maybe their order is $8 and they'll just throw in a 10 or something like that. That is certainly something that we see, especially when people are excited about it and really realize what a difference it's going to make for somebody else who comes in. I mean, that extra $2 that they put in, the very next customer, maybe they're the ones that's $2 shy, and they're able to go ahead and get something to eat, be $2 shy, and it's that has kept the cafe from, kind of going under. It's kept our doors open. It's made us sustainable.
You're sustained by the community. It's
100% sustained by the community. Yeah, we don't get it. We haven't had any other kind of grants or funding at all.
Oh, wow.
And we're going in, it's been 2.5 years since we transitioned. So, and not every month we make money. We certainly don't. We definitely have times that Panera kind of steps in for us and covers our costs. We're certainly not going to let our associates not be paid. We're certainly not going to have the lighting shut off or anything like that. So Panera really does help us out with those things. But, our intent is to get to a point that we can kind of break even and we can be completely self-sustaining on our own.
Let me ask you this, because like I said, I'm kind of cheating a little bit because I've actually been in there a couple times.
Okay.
A couple times. There's been a couple times where I just didn't have any money and just got something to eat. And there was quite a few times where I came in and just put in extra, let me see. What other menus do you have there? Because I noticed when I was in there, it seemed like you had a good mix of people. I know you got the Wi-Fi, and it definitely has that feel of just a normal, not to say it's
abnormal. Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, a lot of the customers that came in before we transitioned into a nonprofit are the same existing customers that we have right in Dearborn, and we're their local bakery cafe, and that's just where they go for their morning coffee, where they go after school to kind of hang out for a little while with friends and chat. It definitely isn't any different in terms of our demographic.
I see. And there wasn't a big shift then. It's still a lot of the same people coming
in. Yeah, it's still a lot. I mean, there's still some new people, and that's part of the beauty of the cafe is that we allow anybody to come through our doors,
Right, I got you.
You know what else, too, and I noticed you had mentioned it, and also on the website, that it is Wi-Fi available. On the Panera Cares website at PaneraCares.org, that's the correct web address, correct?
Yes, PaneraCares.org.
I was actually on the website, and I was looking through it, and I actually went to the news where they actually have stories that were submitted. Can you tell the listeners how they would be able to submit a story if they have one that they'd like to share?
You mean online?
Yes.
You know what? I'm not 100% how they do that. Because I imagine you can do it right from the website, and just maybe like a contact person. I know that in our cafes, in the five separate cafes, we have kind of like a journaling time where we allow the associates to kind of do some journal entries if something's really affected them, or we may have a customer that writes into us. And we'll take that information and give that to, the people who are kind of overhead in Panera Cares. And they are probably the ones that post to the website in the marketing team for the Panera Cares.
With some of the associates that you have there, when they're providing their service to the customer, do you get feedback from the customers, if one person has particularly been you know, more kind and or just...
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I mean, just like if you would go into any cafe and just regarding customer service in general, mm-hmm. whether it was a good experience, a bad experience, you know, or a first experience being in a nonprofit, yeah, we definitely generate a lot of feedback from all of our customers. And most, I would say the majority of them are very much supportive of what we're doing. And, you know, it's kind of cool to watch our cashiers and watch our staff be a part of this. We have a lot of younger staff, as any kind of bakery cafe would, especially in the evening. We might have some high school students working here. And it's really cool to watch them be in this kind of atmosphere where they're at work and they're professional and they're acting that way at work, but then they're also giving back to their community. They're seeing people who are in a tougher situation than they are many times, and how to deal with that and how to treat that person with the same dignity you would treat anybody, with the same respect and giving them the same kind of personal value that we're all entitled to. Just being a human being, there are certain values that we are just entitled to. And watching these, especially our younger associates, kind of learn that lesson and to be comfortable, you know, treating people the same way, I think is a really cool thing to experience.
Do you have any experiences that come to mind that you could share with us of how you saw this particular learning really affect one young individual?
I don't know if I could come up with right on the spot, maybe like one specific incident, but, you know, just kind of reiterating, I think what it is because I see it so much, it's like a day-to-day basis. I mean, if somebody comes in and they are willing to share with us what their story is and say, you know, I lost my job, or I haven't worked in two years, or I was laid off last month, or whatever the case may be, just watching them perform their job as we ask them to do it is really kind of warms your heart. I mean, it's, you know, they'll ask about, is it just you living at home? Do you have kids at home? And many times, yeah, I have two young children at home, and we're kind of, you know, we're trying to fight through what we're going through. And that associate might just, you know, give them a little bag of bagels to take home for breakfast the next day. And it's something that the customer maybe asked for. It's just, we have the product. It's what it's here for. This person's clearly in need of a meal, so let's feed that person. But then maybe let's go over to the table and say, you know, why don't you take this home? You know, based on the conversation, you know, you obviously have kids at home and you're going to need something tomorrow too. So watching them go above and beyond in that way is one example.
Now, if they, you know, in that same light, when people come in, is there the opportunity for them to take home an additional meal or two for, you know, the next
really
day or two?
We really encourage to be successful in this, this setting. We really encourage people to just limit it to one meal. Kind of circling back to what I had originally said, we're about a hand up, we're not a handout, and mm-hmm. we're not a somebody's permanent solution. We're just about helping people when they need it the most. So we ask people to, if they come into our cafe and they need to not pay the full amount, then they're welcome to for one meal. After that, we would encourage them to do, you know, our policy is that you would pay the full amount. Because we're not about just giving away food all day long. If we were, we wouldn't be here more than another month. But it is, you know, and we understand that people have families at home that may need that, but we would encourage a donation for those meals if they're not somebody that's actually physically in the building. And that is put in place because there are those times where people challenge us, and they may say they want 5 sandwiches to go. And even though that we trust that there may be 5 people in their household, there's no way to verify that, mm-hmm. and we really just don't want $50 worth of food walking out of the cafe. So it's a big gray area. We just try to do the best that we can and make the decisions the best we can from situation to situation. But we really encourage people to just, more than one meal needs to be paid for.
But you do have a lot of people that usually come in there and, I guess, make their donation, though, would you say?
Sure, we do have I would say a moderate amount. What we find the most is that people just pay for their food. You know, we would consider that a full donation, mm-hmm. But it's not in addition to what they would normally pay someplace else. In fact, it's completely tax-free, and it is a little bit less. Our menu prices are a little bit less than your typical Panera anyways.
Okay.
So we're certainly, when somebody comes in and gets a meal and pays, there may be some profit built into that. You know, obviously it's not going to have, it doesn't cost us the full amount of maybe what that is worth. But it certainly doesn't mean that they're going to be, every customer pays an extra $5 or anything like that. We don't see that as frequently as we would like to.
Yeah, I see that. You know, when I was on the website again, coming back to that, I did read a story about a patron, and it didn't say who it was. It just said it was a story from the Dearborn location, that there was a patron that did come in and purchase food and then asked the cashier to add an additional $100 to the bill.
Yeah, we have had those instances, too, which are incredible. That was one time. There was also a church that was in Allen Park. Their youth group kind of does this. They kind of throw their pennies into a jar all year long, and they just kind of save money. And at the end of the year, that youth group is able to pick whatever in the community of their choice that they just want to donate this money to. And I think it was the Allen Park Presbyterian Church. They donated, I think it was $384 or something like that to us last year. So there are those occasions, and it certainly is helpful. It's also just really nice to know that we're being recognized in the community and that we're kind of on people's brains, and it's starting to become a normal thing in our community. When we first came here, saying things like this is a community of shared responsibility, people did not understand what that term meant. If we told them it was a suggested donation, a lot of people did not understand what that would entail. And just watching the education grow in our community and knowing that that's because of us, that somebody out there might realize that if not just our community but the whole world could just act a little bit more peacefully and really looking out for the neighbor that's next to you and the person on the street, how much happier and more the equality would come out. And I think for the masses, it just makes more sense. And that's something that's totally missing from our culture. That we need to find and we need to teach our children, and that's kind of my purpose of being here is that a larger holistic approach to how we should treat each other.
That is an excellent point. And what we're going to do is stop right there and continue this as soon as we get back from this break. Once again, you are listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, the only station making waves. And this is Impact.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Green jobs are here to stay. Why not go green with a degree in alternative energy here at Henry Ford Community College? Students will acquire knowledge in advanced fuel sources and the practice of alternative energy in the world. For more information on the Alternative Energy Program, please contact HFCC's Technology Division by calling 313-317-9816 or by going to hfcc.edu/programs.
Hey, this is Stone Perkins. Do you know what my favorite time of the week is? You guessed it, Saturday nights from 8 until 10 right here on WHFR for Five Gears in Reverse. It's an alternative music show that features new indie and even plays older alternative tracks that go all the way back into the 1960s. You'll find it all here, punk, blues, indie, ska, garage, and a whole lot more. So why don't you join me Saturday nights from 8 until 10 for 5 Gears in Reverse. Maybe I could make it your favorite time of the week, too. Until then, keep it locked right here for all of our cool shows on WHFR 89.3 FM and on the web at WHFR.FM.
Good afternoon. I'm Catherine Monroe, and you are listening to Impact on WHFR Dearborn. The other question that I had, the other question that was been burning in my mind while we've been talking is, do you also provide training to other Panera Cafe locations that are going to be opening up in other cities around the U.S.?
No, each. Well, I guess there's kind of two parts of that answer. Each cafe does their own in-store training. So if any cafe nationwide hires somebody, they're allotted, a certain amount of hours and time to be invested in that associate to train them so that they work, they work out for the company. Part of the reason of our internship and part of the benefit is that somebody would go through 8 weeks of training and be a trained associate in their performance and that they could be hired into Panera Bread. It certainly would be a good job reference to Panera Bread if you've basically worked at one for the last 2 months. It's something that I imagine a GM would very much take into consideration, and that's kind of the point. But also if just having the barista skills, knowing how to work a dining room, knowing how to make a smoothie, knowing how to make a cafe mocha, those are transferable skills that you can take to Starbucks, you could take to Tim Hortons, to Dunkin' Donuts, to other restaurants. So it's kind of, you can kind of do both.
I'm wondering, do your interns actually, some of the other interns that have gone through the program, have they gone on to other baristas?
In the other cafes that do the internship program, yes, they have. And they have been, trained at Panera and they've gone to other places to work. And not always has it been into another restaurant. Offhand, I don't know the specifics of their cafes. In Dearborn, we've only had two interns go through because we've only had one session of it, and that just ended a few months ago. So our two interns that we've had are actually employed here at our cafe. By April, we should be starting our next segment of interns and, another 2 to 3 interns that will be doing this two-month course. And it would just really depend on the preferences of those interns, of where, if they wanted to stay, if they wanted to go. It would also depend on their performance. Is this somebody that has, they've worked here for 2 months, but I would still, as a GM, have to make the decision, is this a person that I want on my team? Is this a person that maybe I'll help find for somebody else? Or maybe if there's a local Panera Bread that's in a closer proximity to where they live, maybe they would go to the Woodhaven one or the Westland one, as long as that cafe is in need of an extra person. But there's a lot of ways that we can kind of go, look at that.
I see what you're saying. So you're really helping to place them, because I know we're talking about it in a earlier point, but it's really more, since it's more of a life skills deal with this internship, it's not just how to work at Panera Bread. It's how to work.
Right. I mean, it is being a nonprofit, we want to find a use for our profit too. We want to be sustainable. That's our goal, is to be able to open our doors every day. But if we have profit, it's, how do I explain this exactly? We're not in it to make money. So that profit has to go someplace, and it might as well go right back into the community who's supporting us. And by doing so, we're taking their youth who are struggling, who will need to maybe not be, I don't want to say it without getting too political or putting my own spin on it, but if you think about somebody who's receiving government assistance because they're not able to get a job, right now I have two interns that are employed and they're not receiving government assistance. What better way to help your community than to not have everybody on government assistance? I mean, I'm not saying that government assistance is wrong by any means. I think it's a great thing that we, the government is there for us to lean on if needed. But I think it's a really key element is to get people in a place in their lives where they can, just like this cafe, be self-sustained. and to do things on their own and to know how to act. I mean, if the only thing that's stopping a youth from working is because they don't know how to interact in the workplace, then let's teach them how to interact in the workplace. And then they're good to go. Now they have a job, and it helps their community out.
You have some very valuable life skills for sure that are needed. What if I, as a result of this show, what if I'm a listener that I decide to just come in and I want to make a donation, but I'm not sure how to do it? What do I do?
If you wanted to donate in cash, you would just come in and put the cash right into the orange bin or on credit. I mean, if it's something that you would want to do kind of privately, there's ways to go about that too. You can just come in and put money into the bin, or if you wanted to take a manager aside and maybe a check or credit or anything like that, you're welcome to.
Oh, that's really great.
You can also donate online at our website as well. I believe that you can donate there now as well.
I would like to thank you for being there because, man, you know, I got a small business, and there was a couple times that, you know, I'm kind of chasing a dream kind of, but when you chase dreams, they don't feed you too well. So
it's true. Nothing is easy. No, I know. It's absolutely true. You know, I mean, that's one of the other things I kind of should have mentioned, and then I haven't, but a lot of people think that food insecurity means that there's like a homeless person and they have nothing and they have no food. But really, it's kind of the opposite. The homeless community really does know where to go to get food because they've been in that situation for a long time. The people who struggle with food insecurity the most, I think 36% are, I believe it's 36% are college graduates. I mean, these aren't uneducated people. It's not somebody who's lazy and not working. It's people who are out there and doing it every day, and they're really trying hard to make ends meet. And that's the bulk of the food insecurity that's in our country right now. You know, so it is. It's people, you know, chasing the American dream, having a goal in mind and going for it. And there's just not a lot of helping hands around us anymore. And there's, you know, I'm sure you have, and I'm not sure what your business is, but I'm sure that there's something about your business that's helping somebody else, because that's what a successful business is.
Right, that's true.
You know?
Yeah,
offering a product that's going to make somebody's life easier.
Yeah, in addition to, you know, with the food insecurity too, you know, there's a lot of single parents who just have so many bills and just not enough money to cover it.
Right.
So this is a fantastic resource for them.
Oh, it's an amazing. I can say one time I was in there. Is again, I've been there a few different times. And I saw a whole family come in. As a matter of fact, I remember watching them. They even had the little kids sweeping and all that. And I think
you were here when a family volunteered.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's really the cool thing is that it seems to me like the whole point of the Panera Cares is to the whole hand up thing. Most people, I truly believe this, I don't care where you're at in the world, most people want to help out. You know, I think it just makes you feel better if you can. Whether it's paying a little bit extra the next time you come in or, you know, doing some work or something like that, especially if you treat it right. And when you go in there, and it is different from going to, like, a food pantry or something. It really is. Just the atmosphere,
yeah.
The way they treat you.
To contribute, you have that sense of accomplishment that you've worked for something, and it's not doesn't wear on your own dignity or your own self-worth. You know, it feels like maybe I couldn't contribute with money, but I can contribute with my other skills that I have. And that's where somebody's value lies, is not just their skills that they can contribute with, but the willingness to contribute. That's where somebody's value should lie, and it should absolutely have nothing to do with money. I mean, money is just, it comes, it goes. It's there for maybe one part of your life, and it's not the next. We had this one older lady who came in. It just broke my heart. She was, you could tell that maybe her lifestyle of, she was maybe in her 70s or maybe early 80s. Her whole life, I don't think she necessarily wanted for anything. She was dressed really well. She had a lot of nice jewelry on. You know, she had talked about how when she was much younger, they had a boat and they were constantly on this boat, and her and husband would go to parties, and I think she was probably pretty affluent. Now that she's much older, her husband had a lot of medical issues and then passed away. And she's never worked before, and obviously she's quite a bit older. I can't imagine it would be hard for her to find some employment for income. And her the medical debt completely wiped her out. She was literally staying in a very small apartment, and she had no food to her name. She had no money to get groceries. And this is somebody that's never dealt with that before. So even if she wanted to, she wouldn't know where to go she wouldn't know where the food banks are. She's not going to know where a soup kitchen is. And her whole self-worth, she didn't even know what her next move was going to be. So she actually came in just to get a cup of coffee. She had no idea that we were a nonprofit cafe. She was just, kind of keeping busy throughout the day. So we gave her a meal once we kind of, fortunately, somebody that was working here went over and got her story and introduced themselves and said what we're here for. And she just cried in our dining room, and she was here a few more times after that. And I think that she found some housing, like a senior housing that she could go to. But it was just incredibly sad to see somebody in that situation.
Well, you never know what situation people are going to be in. And I think, if nothing else, if people don't get anything else from this show, they should, there's no shame in asking for help.
No, there's not.
And I think that's the whole point is you're there to help someone if they need it. Not to abuse anything, but if they need some help, it's a good place and a very comfortable place to go. Because I've seen people, I've been in there, getting homework done and, I'm doing better now. But I mean, at the time it was just really, really bad. So I think that's the whole point of what you guys are doing. And I think it's definitely good. The fact that a person who maybe isn't used to getting help, used to having to ask for anything, can go in there and get some help.
Yeah, it's difficult to share your story when you're in that situation. It's difficult to open up. So we do need people to, if they need help, to use us as a resource. But at the same time, we need people in our community to realize that if you're able to help, you should be helping. And maybe not in this way. I'm not saying everybody should come to Pinnacle Cares and help with the fight against food insecurity. For instance, one of my very best friends is, she donates at a dog shelter. On the weekends, she goes and she walks the dogs. And occasionally, she'll have a dog live with her until it's adopted out. That's her cause, that's her doing good in the world. And I'm totally proud of her. She doesn't have she's not as concerned about food insecurity as I am. That's kind of my passion. But I really encourage everybody to just figure out what it is how you can contribute in your own life. Whatever that, maybe it's your next door neighbor, maybe they're food insecure. Just when you're making dinner for yourself and you have some left over, just take it to the neighbor that you know is in need. I mean, it's the smallest act that's going to make a huge difference in the way that we view ourselves as Americans, as people living in Dearborn. It doesn't matter, really. It's just finding what you're good at and applying that in a positive way.
Yeah, absolutely. And for not to make it a cliche, but Panera really does care. It really does make a difference, and we're very lucky to have this in our community. Colleen, you've been listening to Colleen Kincaid. She's the general manager at Panera Cares, located in Dearborn. Colleen, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate the information that you've given us, and we hope that you have continued success.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
You too, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Colleen Kincaid, the general manager at the Panera Cares on Michigan Avenue. And I'm just so impressed by this company to do something like this, to help those with food insecurities. It's just amazing to me that a company would do this. And, we're going to go to break. And what I want you to do is stay tuned, because I'm going to give you a little bit of a speech from the executives at Panera Bread. That kind of just lets you know where they're going and what they really want from this Panera Cares program. And it really shows you just how much they believe in it as a company. And I think if all of us can
really get on board with this. This is something that would help not just, I mean, this is a movement that would help not just Dearborn, but the world, the entire nation, I think. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a few. You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM and Impact.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. But it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater? Really?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
A very important key in keeping a healthy lifestyle is fitness. Why not condition yourself as well as your mind here at Henry Ford Community College? The health and physical education curriculum offers both a 2-year associate's in applied science as well as a certificate program, both offering a wide variety of courses including exercise physiology, nutrition, and physical conditioning. For more information, you can call 313-845-6318 or on the web at hfcc.edu/programs.
This is Omni 646, and I'm inviting you to ride out with me on the rhythmic ride this Saturday and every Sunday from 10 p.m. to midnight. We will listen to all types of music along the sonic spectrum, everything from rock to hip-hop to R&B to rap. And you know what? We will have a blast. So be sure to tune in from 10 p.m. to midnight this Saturday and every Saturday on the only station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM.
Good afternoon. I'm Catherine Monroe, and you are listening to Impact on WHFR Dearborn.
1 in 6 Americans live in food insecure households. Have you heard that term, food insecure? Let me tell you about the term, food insecure. What is food insecure? It's the way the USDA calls people that are starving. It's what the USDA uses as a word to sanitize what is the reality of life for way too many people in our country. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever worked in a food pantry? Have you ever personally worked in a food bank? Let me tell you a little bit about me. I have a 6-year-old and I have an 11-year-old. And we've had lots of good fortune in our lives. And one of the most important things for me is to give them an experience of what it's like for others, an experience of what it's like to see and experience those that don't have the benefits that they have. So we try regularly to work in it. This happens to be a picture that represents my experiences. Several years ago, I went to work in one of the organizations that delivers food to those folks that are shut in. And we spent 45 minutes to get there. We went and we had to pick our own food. That took about an hour. We then got back in our car and delivered 2 satchels to an elderly couple. 3 hours, 3 children, 9 hours, we delivered 2 satchels. I figured our hourly rate was about 30 cents an hour, the value of our time. I sat there as a business guy who runs a business, and I said to myself, you know, this is so inefficient. It may make me feel good, but does it actually add any value? I would have been much smarter to just written a check. And I thought to myself, you know what? If a guy like me who runs these things every day, if I ever got a hold of it, I would have changed the entire system. And those entrepreneurial juices in me began to think, there's got to be better ways to do this. And then one night, 3 years ago, I was watching TV. And you know those moments? Elizabeth Gilbert spoke about it, when you get it, when something just hits you. I'm sitting there watching TV, Brian Williams, NBC News, and they do that piece, Making a Difference, People Who Make a Difference. And they began to talk about a cafe that had been created in Denver, Colorado, called The Same Cafe. And this cafe had a crazy idea. The crazy idea is they'd have no prices. They'd feed anybody from the community who wanted to come in. They'd ask them to pay what they could afford without mandatory prices. And what was amazing about this story is they'd spend years trying to build this cafe, trying to get it up and going, to get it moving. They got it up and going, and the momentous event was they were operating, they were serving folks, and they were serving 40 people a day. And as I watched this show late at night, I turned to my wife, and I said, Nancy, this is crazy. We do this. We open two cafes a week somewhere in this country. We have 60,000 people that know how to run restaurants. We do this. And what else do? We make our living by being part of communities, by being part of people. This is about community. We do this. And let me tell you something else. We also are searching for new ways to make a difference. We at Panera, we give $100, $150 million in donations a year. And yet we don't really do something. What we do is let somebody pick up the food and it disappears. We don't connect with it. We don't use our skills. We don't make a difference in ways in which we could in the opportunities that are in front of us in ways that Andre spoke to you earlier. So what did we do? We decided to do what all entrepreneurs do. We decided to study what others were doing and try to come up with new solutions to the problems that we saw. So what did that mean for us? We went around the country and we started looking. We started visiting. We started seeing. There's a couple of these cafes that had been built, generally very small. First one I went to see was in Highland Park, New Jersey. This happens to be a picture of it. You can see just a couple of people, not a lot of people. I started to do the research. They serve a couple of hundred people a week. This is in the back of a church in Highland Park, New Jersey. Right? Let me show you our answer to it. As we started to think about it, we realized if this was going to actually succeed and we were going to actually create one of these cafes and we're going to do it, we had to take a huge risk. And that risk was to put our corporate reputation on the line. If we were going to do this, we couldn't do it as a cafe without our name on it. If we were going to attract the thousands of people we wanted to attract and to bring some credibility to it, it meant taking the full Panera experience and bringing that Panera experience to the table. What else did we see? We went to food shelters. Have you ever been to a food shelter? Have you ever waited in line outside a food shelter? It's a horrible experience. You wait, and they finally let you in, and you go in, and you look around, and I'm in this line myself, and everybody around me is poor, and everybody around me is struggling, and everybody around me is at the effect of life, and you feel so sucked down by it. The energy is so negative. The feelings are so contrary to what brings out the best in you. And then you eat the food. And what does the food taste like? It tastes like the stuff we got in second grade. Right? In second grade, we could tolerate it. But is it the food we want to eat? And it began to make us think. And we started to think some more. And we said, if we're really going to put our name on it, what do we do with it? And when we first started thinking about the idea, we said, you know what we'll do? We'll take some of our soup. We'll do that in a little cafe. We won't charge any prices. And you know what else we'll do? We'll have some coffee, and maybe we'll bring some fresh baked yesterday baked goods in. That was our original idea. But we went through the experience of being in a food kitchen, in a soup kitchen, and you know what we decided to do? We decided to do it the right way. And what did that mean for us? It meant the full-bore Panera menu, the full-bore experience. This was a big risk for us. It meant soups, it meant salads, it meant sandwiches, it meant the things that were going to cost money. What else? What else did we learn in this process? We started to think about how do you collect the money, right? Because in many ways, this whole experiment is ultimately a test of humanity. Would people pay for it? Would people come in and value it? Would people consider it something they would sustain? And here's the question. How do you collect money when you're saying to some people, if you don't have it, you don't have to pay it? To others, we're saying, give more. How do you collect that money? We certainly can't have a 1099 test at the door. And we certainly don't want to judge you by how you look and the clothes you have on. How do we know who should leave what? How do we make sure we can take care of the people that really have need while at the same time taking the people that don't have need and trying to say to them, listen, you got a responsibility and an obligation. How do you do that? Well, the first thing we did is we decided to really live what we said and go in and do it without any standard prices. Right, really hard for a guy who does $3 billion a year with standard prices. Very hard. But we did it. We said this was our slogan, take what you need, leave your fair share. Let me share with you something else we did. And this was probably the hardest thing. Because most of the cafes we had visited who tried this model, these small ones, they'd eventually move to cash registers. The reason they went to cash registers is they had to collect enough money to keep themselves in business, to sustain. We started to say, you know what? What we're trying to do is treat people with dignity. If we're going to treat people with dignity, we've got to do it in such a way that those people feel the dignity in the process. And if we sit there and look at you and say, you can leave whatever you want, but here's the cash register. How much are you leaving me? We're destroying that dignity. And we said, we're going to take a chance. We're going to give you just a donation box. And we're going to leave it up to you to leave what you want. In that way, we can protect people. But for us, this was a test of humanity. It had to be a cafe of shared responsibility. It had to be a cafe that could sustain itself over the medium and long term. So we committed to doing just that. And as we began to think about it, we had to find communities in which this could work. One of the questions we're often asked, why don't we just go to the poorest neighborhoods? Because we can't sustain it if we go to a neighborhood in which there are only poor folk. Okay, what else? We dreamed. What was the dream behind it? Frankly, the dream was if we could get this thing to sustain and work, we could then use this as a model to begin to work with some of the young people that Andre talked about and the judge talked about. Take some of these young people that have been such at the effect of our society that they've been removed from society, they've been institutionalized. How do you bring them back? We have 3,000 employees in the St. Louis market. How do we find ways to bring some of these folks that have been such at the effect of our society and bring them back into the mainstream? And could we ultimately take these cafes and triple leverage our skills, not just feed those that could not feed themselves, but also use this as a training ground to basically train folks to enter the mainstream again? That was the dream. That was the dream we hoped. And the final dream we hoped is, in doing this, could we set an example for ourselves and maybe for others to say that corporations could do more than just give a check, that could actually step up and take responsibilities where they had core competence? That was the dream. An elderly woman who works in the cafe, about 70 years of age, we're cleaning tables together about 11 o'clock, and she looks at me and says, you know, Ron, I prayed that this cafe would work. And you know, Ron, my prayers have been answered. And what else did we find? We found fascinating things with the customers. The emotional ups and downs were huge. And you could feel the people that laughed at you and said, this is just an opportunity for me to game the system, to screw the man, lunch on Uncle Ron, big company, take advantage of it. And that just ripped you down, and it took you down. But then there was the other side of it. There was a whole other side of it. There was a side that really validated you, right? I can remember one morning, a guy comes in, says, listen, I was a tech writer. I lost my job 6 months ago. My family hasn't really had a real meal. I don't know where these kids, he had three children with him, I don't know where these kids are going to eat tonight. We used to love to come to Panera, the bread company. Can we eat here tonight? We said, that's why this place is here. Come on in. Right? We have regulars. We have all kinds of regulars. All kinds of people that came in. These are two of our regulars that are there every afternoon. It becomes part of their life. Let me share with you something else. Let me share with you the conclusion of the story. Is it working? Well, it's still the first chapter, but let me give you some updates. Right? First, 4,000 guests each week. Right? 4,000 people are served by this cafe. Let me share with you something else. Right? More volunteers than we can utilize. Right? We're sending people away. We can't use all the hours of people that want to be a part of this. And let me share with you something else. The real question for us, the test of humanity, is could it sustain itself? Would people just laugh at us? Would they think it's just an opportunity to rip the bread company off? Or would people step up and actually put something in that donation box? And the reality, 60%, 20% of customers leave more money than what the suggested retail price is. 20%, one out of five. 60% leave basically the suggested retail, and 20% leave less or significantly less, generally significantly less. The net is we're generating about 80% of the retail price on average, roughly. And what that means, because this isn't a nonprofit, because it's transparent, we're actually, for the first time in the last 8 weeks, have generated more revenue than we've had cost. And the truth is, this is going to make it, it is going to sustain, it is going to go on. That may be a statement about St. Louis. It may be a statement about the people in St. Louis and their ability to care. We don't know. But I can only tell you, based on one cafe, as amazing as it is, with 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 customers going through this every 10 weeks, we are continuing to sustain and to make it. Let me share with you something else. What does that mean for us? And this is very important to us. We've now been able to begin to do the kind of direct programming we want. Our goal, as I said, is to take these young people that have been so institutionalized in the effect of society and give them what they need is not just a job, but life skills. The ability to understand, how do you get a checking account? What does it mean to show up? And our hope is we're going through the process now of basically partnering with an organization like Covenant House to teach work skills. And we're bringing in kids from almost home, very tough. These are kids under 18, women with children, nowhere to go. They can't get in the shelters. We're going to try to help them move from the stabilization programs back into the mainstream because, frankly, they've never been there. Give them a chance. Give them an opportunity. Angel's Arms, which is essentially foster kids. This is the way we want to use the program, triple leverage. Let me share with you something else about it, the future. I think, as you know, we started here in Kirkwood. From Kirkwood, we took Panera Bread to the country. Well, same thing. This is our first store, our first Panera Care in Clayton, Missouri. We are leaving here this afternoon. We're going to Dearborn, Michigan, where on Sunday we will open the second Panera Cares in a place that really needs it, Detroit, Michigan. And then from there, in January, we will open on the West Coast. So we're very excited about the prospects for where this takes us and, frankly, where we go. Let me mention something else. Here's the real question, the real challenge that we want to state with this, and the question I would ask you all. Will other companies step up to make a difference in new ways? Right? It's not enough to write a check. It's not enough to be sanitized away from the problem. As Andre said, we have personally have to get involved. And what we're advocating here is that companies get involved. Let me leave you with this. There's another entrepreneur who I have great respect for, Bill Gates. He said something. I leave you with this. I hope you will judge yourself not on your professional accomplishments alone, but also on how well you've addressed the world's deepest injustices, on how well you treated people a world away who have nothing in common with you but your humanity. This is the test for each of us. Thank you.
WHFR, Dearborn. Good afternoon. I'm Joe, host of Best of Broadway, and today we're featuring two plays, Oklahoma and The Music Man. Last week we had two plays that were kind of situated in New York City. Well, these are two plays in the American Midwest about 100 years ago, the time frame was, give or take a decade or two. And we're going to start off with Oklahoma. By the way, this is the station making waves, WHFR.FM, and we're coming to you from the beautiful